We're going to start a new series tonight. And we're going to take a look. This was kind of not intentional on my part, but we're going to take a look through another one of my heroes of Scripture. So we've spent some time with a couple guys, yeah, but one, I mean, Abraham is an amazing figure. Yes, I know that, but he's never been one that I've been particularly drawn to. But Peter always was, and of course, we spent quite a bit of time with Peter over the last year. And I guess Peter was especially close to me because I identified so much with him, with, you know, opening your mouth to switch feet, or, you know, speaking first and thinking later. But there's another guy, and we finished Peter, so now that means we're going to flip back into the Old Testament. And I want to introduce you to an amazing man, someone who shook the foundations of heaven, someone who shook the earth. And we want to take a look at a man by the name of Elijah. For the next several weeks, probably through till Christmas, through the end of the year, we're going to spend some time looking at this prophet, Elijah. What an amazing man. And the amazing, some of the amazing things about him is he was so ordinary. We forget that. We see the amazing confrontation at Mount Carmel. We see him boldly striding into King Ahab's throne room and issuing God's ultimatums. But he was an incredible guy and an ordinary guy. We want to take a look at him. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, and that's how he's introduced to Scripture. No, allow me to introduce you to my prophet called Elijah. No, he just suddenly shows up on the scene. What do we know about this guy? I know we're running, we've had a full service so far, so we're going to kind of
squish the sermon a little bit.
But there are some things that God has to say, and I want you to hear these very, very, very clearly tonight. Elijah the Tishbite, who was this guy? What was his story? What's he all about? James gives us an amazing snippet into his life. Turn with me, if you would, to the epistle of James. By the way, you remember who James was, correct? Right. The half-brother of Jesus. And in the middle of a passage on healing, on calling the elders and being prayed for, James says this. This is from James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a man like unto us, if we quote the old King James. In other words, Elijah was like you and me. I would say he put on his trousers one leg at a time like the rest of us, except that he didn't. Just like Jesus didn't wear jeans, right? We talked about that last week. But you know what? Elijah was an ordinary guy. He was a normal guy. He had emotions. He had good days. He had bad days. We're going to see those as we journey through what we see in Scripture about Elijah. But there's something that I want us to notice tonight in particular. He was a hairy guy, which means I could never be an Elijah. He was characterized by, he was known by that. There was somebody who said, this prophet of God stopped us and gave us this message, O king. And the king said, what did the guy look like? He was hairy and he had a leather belt. Oh yeah, that's Elijah. I have friends who could be described that way, but not me. I mean, it took me 17 years. I shaved my beard off once. Way back. 25 years ago. And I'd been trying to grow it for a couple of weeks. And Trish didn't even notice that I had grown something and then shaved it off. So, yeah, Harry doesn't, you know, this, we won't say how long this took to grow. In any event, there are some descriptions that we have of Elijah. He was a man of like passions. He was an ordinary guy. He was a hairy man, kind of like John the Baptist. He was moody. Oh, we're going to see that as we go through his life. He was prone to fits of temper. He was prone to depression. If there's one man in Scripture who you see depression in, it's Elijah. Very, very, what's their word? Feeling, he likes to feel sorry for himself a lot. And I know we're picking on Elijah right now. I realize that. And, you know, when we get up there, Elijah's going to put his hand around my shoulder and say, Orban, you and I need to have a chat. But this is what Scripture shows us. We're going to see the amazingness. And the reason that I bring this out is Elijah was such an unlikely candidate, shall we say that, for the things that he did. The things that happened through the life of Elijah were clearly not because of Elijah, but were clearly because of Yahweh, the Lord, the God who lives. Whatever you're prone to, whatever your struggles are, God's bigger than that. If you let him be. If you don't, forget it. Take a hike. You're done. Whatever. But if you let God be all to you that he wants to be, God will rock your world. And he will reshape your environment around an image of himself. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." Couple things we need to notice from the text here. By the way, how many of you are following along in your Bibles, whether it's an electronic copy or a paper copy or a... All right. What kind of font, what kind of text is Lord written in? All caps. What does that mean? It's his personal name. That means Yahweh. That's the four initials that were put together in the Hebrew to make the proper name of God. This isn't some deity out there. This is naming Yahweh. Yahweh, the God, lives. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand. What does it mean to stand before the Lord? Any thoughts? Any question? Any ideas? What does it mean to stand before the Lord? To submit, okay? Be available? Okay. Be accountable? To wait? What kind of person stands before another? Humble? A servant. A servant. As we go through the life of Elijah, we're going to see several names that Ahab called him, none of them complimentary. But we're going to see three general characterizations of Elijah. If you asked Elisha, or if you asked the general populace, "Describe Elijah to me," what would they have said? "Whoa, he's a man of God." That's how he was known. He was the man of God. If you asked Elijah, "Elijah, describe yourself. Who are you?" He would tell us what he just did. "I am a man who stands before the throne of God." What did God call him? "My servant." God called him my servant. Now, I realize in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, no longer do I call you slaves or servants, I call you friends, because a servant doesn't know what the master's doing, and so I'm calling you friends. But if we flip into the farther into the New Testament, what does every single author of the New Testament call themselves before God? Pardon? Not even a servant. A slave. We are a slave of God. God calls us his friend. We call us God's servant, God's slave. I am here for the simple expressed reason of doing him who sent me, of doing whatever it is he calls me to do. That's what it means to stand before the Lord. A servant stood before their master or before the king, waiting for instructions. What would you have me do? And when those instructions were given, what happened? One of two things, instant obedience or instant demotion. And of course, demotion usually meant the removal of your upper appendage. See, we have lost this whole concept of who God is. Elijah knew. Two reasons. He knew God lives. How did he know that? Because he stood before him day after day to do his will, not Elijah's. See, we call ourselves Christians. We talked a little bit about this last week. We call ourselves Christians, but who is Christ to you today? But what role does he play in your life today? How does he work out in your daily life? That's the real question. What kind of level of intimacy do I have with God? Do I know him or do I just know about him? Do I spend any time with him or do I spend time on my phone, on my computer, on my TV? Now, don't hear me wrong. I have a smartphone. I have a computer. I have television. I'm on Facebook. I understand social media. But who gets most of your time? Who do you spend time with? You know, in the culture that I grew up a long time ago, we used to talk about devotions. Did you do your devotions? I hated that terminology. Did you do your devotions? That was a very common phrase when I was a Bible school student, because that was a sign of spirituality if you did your devotions. Now, what do you think your relationship with your spouse would be like if you did time with them? That sounds like, you know, a sentence, doesn't it? Doing time with. I did relationship with Trish yesterday. Really? No, we just hung out and we spent time together. We talked, we shared, we laughed. You know what? Sometimes we didn't even say anything. We can be in the same room and not say anything and still be in that relationship, still be in that intimacy. What about you and God? See, that's the one thing that Elijah understood. He was a man who stood before the Lord. He knew relationship with God. And if you're missing that, you're missing the heart and soul of what it means to be a Christian. A Christian doesn't mean doing good things. It doesn't mean coming to church. It means you and God one-on-one, and not once a day, once every moment. Guys, we've got to get this, or we might as well pack it up and go home. Jesus Christ died not to get you only into heaven,
but to have a relationship with you every moment of every day. Are you letting him into that level?
Elijah was a man like you and me. And God took that man and did the most amazing things. Why? Because God was everything to Elijah. Is God everything to you? If he isn't, then you need to take a look at your life. If God doesn't so fill you, then all we can ask is, what kind of a Christian are we? We have to understand the times that Elijah found himself in. A couple things we need to remember as we go through the life of Elijah. First off, Elijah was a prophet to the nation of Israel, not Judah, but Israel. Now, Elijah comes upon the scene somewhere between 50 and 60 years after King Solomon. This is not long after the glory days of Israel. How many of you are 65 or over? You don't have to put your hand up, unless you're willing to admit it. See, you guys are old enough to consciously remember back as long as it would have been for Solomon to be reigning the kingdom. That's how short a time this is. We're talking 55 to 60 years ago. Solomon was king. And then came his son.
Oh, you thought it was hard under my dad. You ain't seen nothing yet.
And 10 out of the 12 tribes said, yeah, you ain't seen us again. And off they went. And they started their own kingdom called Israel. And Judah, as a nation, stayed. And Judah was ruled by the house of David. There's some amazing things as we look at the house of at the nation of Israel as opposed to the nation of Judah. Judah had some amazingly good kings. Amazing kings that drew the people to God and worshipped him. Israel had, how many good kings did Israel have? None. Not one king in Israel's history after the breakup followed the Lord. Not one. Do you realize that Israel was hauled away into captivity about 160 years before the nation of Judah was? And do you realize that God did not bring any of them back? The return after the exile was from the nation of Judah, not the nation of Israel. We're in a bad kingdom here, guys. Elijah is a prophet to the nation of Israel. They have had five or six kings already. And Ahab is the worst. The absolute worst. And I know that because Scripture says so. And that is the context that Elijah finds himself in. A nation that has thrown God out the window, so to speak, and is pursuing their own lusts, is pursuing other gods that allow them to do woohoo! Yeah, all kinds of things that good boys and girls aren't supposed to. Child sacrifice being one of them. And that's the nation that Elijah is called to be a prophet in. And Elijah walks into the king's courtroom. And he says, as Yahweh, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand. You want to know my credentials? Look behind me. I come empty because God is filling me. God is the one who gives me the credentials. God is the one who gives me the voice, who gives me the ministry, Elijah says. He lives, and as I stand before him, he gives me a message for you. And that message started an amazing period of time in the history of Israel. Over the next several months, we're going to look through that time and see what God did. Here's an interesting side fact. Did you know that in the history of the world, there are, if we discount creation, there are three periods in human history that were prone to miracles. Three periods of time in human history where miracles happened all over the place. Do you know what those times were? Moses and the Exodus, Jesus and the apostles, and Elijah and Elisha. Nowhere else. I mean, Isaiah, amazing prophet, isn't he? How many miracles do you know of that Isaiah did? Any clue? One, maybe two. That's it. Elijah and Elisha were the prophets of God's hand and doing amazing things. So when we run around and say, miracles is normal. No, you know what? Miracles actually aren't very normal. There's only three times in human history where they were normal. But we want to look through one of them and see what we can see when God is allowed full sway in one man's life and what can happen. But I want to ask you, where do you stand in relationship to God? Do you stand facing him ready to do his will? Do you stand with your back to him and say, I'm here, but I'm doing what I want? What is your relationship with God tonight? What is he putting his finger on in your life? Remember, if I'm saying this to you, you know that God has said it to me. Where is God in your every waking moment today? Remember, today could be the day we see Jesus face to face. Can you say with Elijah, the Lord my God lives, the Lord the God of Israel, before whom I stand. I am nothing more than his servant. Having said that, listen carefully, I am nothing less than his servant. See, it goes both ways. As you stand as a servant of the Lord, it's the Lord that gives you that identity. It's the Lord that gives you that authority. It's the Lord that you argue with when you argue against a person of God. Do you stand today and say, I am his servant, nothing more, but nothing less? I trust that as we go through the next several weeks and we enjoy this life of Elijah, that it will be a challenge to us to see how normal and how everyday Elijah was, and yet the amazing things that God did in him and through him. But I trust also that you will be drawn to this God, this Yahweh of Israel, in a whole new way, that you will see him as your God, as the man whom you serve, as the God whom you serve. Let's sing.